I am the executive director of True Mentors, the mentoring program that Hoboken Grace helped to start. And I've been coming to Hoboken Grace for over 3 years now. And watching the church grow and expand and be able to develop a program like True Mentors has just been amazing to watch and be part of. It's been a blessing in my life, and God has taught me so many things along the way about myself and what His plan is and His purpose is for me. Because I haven't always known what His purpose is for me. I grew up believing in God. I grew up in a Christian denomination that taught me to about who God was, but I never really knew that I could have a relationship with Him until really about 7 years ago. I met someone who started asking me a lot of questions about what I believed, and then really encouraged me to find the answers and find them in asking and reading the Bible. And once I started answering questions, more questions came, and I really started saying yes and believing that Christ needed to die for me and that He is my Savior. And from there, my relationship with God just kept growing. And at the time, I was working for a large digital marketing agency, and I spent, you know, an average of 10 to 12 hours a day working, and I didn't have time to volunteer or give back. Or so what I felt like God was calling me to do was just start small, right? And at that time, the only thing I could do was write a check. So I started looking for organizations that I wanted, that I was passionate about, and I started working with a women's organization that helped war refugees, and I sponsored a woman, just basically wrote a check once a month. And then God started calling me to do other things, like volunteer when I could through organizations like New York Cares or Jersey Cares. And then I became a big sister through Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I was a mentor for an adult mentoring program. And my time started to shift, and I started to prioritize my focus and really learn a lot about myself and what my strengths were and what God was calling me to do. And this over the course of 6 to 7 years, until last year, or about a year and a half ago, I no longer felt comfortable in the job that I was doing. And for me, I was doing marketing and selling things that I didn't believe in. I felt like I was going against God, not with Him. Even though I tried to bring Him into my workplace, I knew that there was something else He wanted me to do. So I started looking in nonprofits and wanted to figure out, okay, where is God calling me now? And evaluating where my passions were. And so my business closed last a little over a year ago. And it gave me an opportunity to do a lot of volunteer work in nonprofits that I was passionate about. And I've been volunteering and helping out with marketing for the church. And Chris asked me to have a meeting one day. And he said, listen, we've been looking for someone to start this mentoring program. And I thought, whoa, that totally isn't the direction I'm going in. But I spent a lot of time with God on it, and finally said yes. And when I looked at it, and what I thought the organization needed and everything in my life that God had given me up until that point, it totally blew my mind that He could create my life and give me the life experiences needed to put me in a place and give me a job for Him to do His work in the way that He did. And it is the hardest job I have ever done, starting a nonprofit, but it is the biggest joy in my life, and it's the best job I've ever had. And I can't thank Him enough for opening up this opportunity for me to be able to use all of the experience and all of the passions that He's given me, and be able to do it every day and see the response in the community and see the response in the kids and the parents, and just knowing what this organization is doing and all of the people that get to share and the joy of building and connecting, and is something that I'm so thankful for that He's given me. And so I didn't realize that I could work for His purpose, but now I see that it's absolutely possible, and that He knows far better than I do what will make me happy. So I'm very thankful.
Awesome. Wasn't that song amazing? Right? Like, awesome. I just want to echo what John said earlier. If today's your first time with us, hopefully you've made yourself right at home. My name is Chris. I'm the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and you've walked into a kind of an interesting Sunday for us. Today is what we call Celebration Sunday, and for the past 40 days, we've been walking through this conversation on purpose, and we've been talking about what it means to live out God's purpose in our lives. We started this, and we realized that this isn't about God's plan for me, but that this is about God's plan and how I fit into that. And we've been looking then at what God's purpose is and what God's plan is and how we fit into that and how we can begin to live that out. The dream for us is found in this passage in Acts 13:36, where it talks about David. It says this, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." And it talks about David in this way that not just that he carried out his plan, but that he served God's purpose in his generation. And for us, as we've walked through the last 40 days, the dream has been that that would be said about us as well. That one day when this is all over, that it would be said about us that in our lives, in our generation, we served God's purpose. And so we've been talking about what that looks like and how at the very heart of that is this idea of family, of being a part of a family. This passage that we've looked at almost every single week, Ephesians 1:5, where it says, "God decided in advance before this whole thing, the purpose, decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ." And so we've been looking at what does that look like for my life to be a part of this family. As I look at God's purpose of bringing this family together, how do I live in that in my life? And so we've looked at how we've been created to be loved, and that our primary purpose is not active but passive. You were created to be loved, to be a part of this family, and then to love this family the way that Jesus Christ has loved you. And if, in order for that to happen, that means that we have to embrace this idea that we were created to become like Christ, to be able to experience life the way that he experienced life, to be able to find the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness that he lived his life with. But if that's going to happen, then we have to not only begin to serve, but to actually become a servant, to look at ourselves as a servant, and then to move into the world around us and to share that message with anyone and everyone that we possibly can. And so for the last 40 days, we've been walking through that. And today is all about celebrating what God has been doing in people's lives as a result of that. Celebrating how people are beginning to experience that. Celebrating how people are beginning to walk down that path and to begin that journey in their life. Because one of the things that we talk about all the time here at Hoboken Grace is that if what we're talking about on Sunday isn't going to change tomorrow, if it isn't going to change Monday, then we're wasting our time. And so if we've spent the last 40 days talking through this, but no one's life is different, then the truth is it's been a waste of time. But I think as you'll see today and as you hear these stories, you'll see that no, God is changing lives. And we got to be a part of that in an amazing way last week with that baptism that you saw earlier. And to see people come to the point where they say, no, listen, it's not about me anymore. It's about him. And I'm not trusting me anymore. I'm trusting him. And so today what I want you to be able to see is how that's happening. And I want us to take a moment to be able to remember what God's been doing over the last 40 days, because one of the things that we find in God's word and throughout scripture is that remembrance is crucial. That's why we do communion every single week. As you walk through the Old Testament, you see passage after passage after passage where it calls people to remember. One of the things that God says about the nation of Israel as he's leading them and as they keep falling away is that they're a forgetful people. And so throughout our lives, God is constantly calling us to remember what he's done. And we see in his word that this is one of the ways in which we continue to grow in our experience of him. This is one of the ways in which we continue to grow in our understanding of the world around us is by remembering what he's done, because it's really, really easy for us as we get wrapped up in the week and as we get wrapped up in our jobs to begin to forget how much he's loved us. To begin to forget the fact that even though it doesn't at that moment seem like it, that he is constantly working in our lives. As a matter of fact, one of the passages where it says this is found in Joel 1:3, and it's one of the places where God's really, really clear about this. And it says this, it says, tell your children about it in the years to come, and let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. And so that's what today's all about. It's about story. It's about passing the stories down and for you to be able to hear what God's doing in people's lives and for you to be able to then take those stories and your story and to share those with others so that we can know that our God is a God of love and a God who is constantly working. The other thing that I want you to realize as we walk through today is that for many of you, as we've walked through the last 40 days, this has been a time where there's actually more questions have been raised than answered. And as you've looked at this idea of purpose and giving up what you've been living for and embracing what God is beginning to lead you into, it's really been a time where you've confronted the fact that, man, you know what? I've been headed in the wrong direction for a very long time. And so today, as we walk through these stories, I want you to realize that you're not alone. And I want you to realize that as we come to the end of this series, this isn't the end of the conversation. This is the beginning of the conversation. And that you're not the only one who's in that situation. So check out this story.
It's been a struggle for me to understand, you know, like what I'm supposed to do. But I think everybody goes through that struggle. We were talking about this morning at dinner group, my goal from when I was little is to like be a rock star. And I always thought that fame somehow was my purpose and that like I needed to be well known and successful and all that stuff. And there was a turning point, like you said in your last message about making a decision. I had to make a decision on whether I wanted to live or lead myself down that path of you know, pursuing music and that lifestyle. And then my mom said to me one time, she said, "You have to make a choice. If you want to do music, you can't be a dad at the same time. You can't do it. If you really want to do music the way that you want to do it, you can't. So you need to make a choice. And I made the choice to, you know, to be a dad and to get married, because it really was. It was like, I knew that if I got married, we were going to have kids. And so I made that choice, and I went through this withdrawal of, like, now what am I supposed to do? And all the expectations that I had built up with my friends and family to, that, you know, to pursue that goal was now like, oh, well, now what's Jack going to do? You know, that purpose is no longer. So it took me a long time to figure out, you know, what do I do next? And so now I've poured myself into my work, and I'm a designer, web designer. And so I've poured my life into this startup. And part of me is like, okay, if I run really, really, really fast and make enough money, that then I can make a difference. And so I'm running really fast right now. And one thing that hit me really hard was about Steve Jobs and how he ran really fast his entire life, and he never was there for his kids. And he wanted his kids to know him through this book. And so the thing that I struggle is, like, should I keep running really fast knowing that, like, in the next 2 or 3 years, then I can take it easy and, you know, then I'll be set and then I can figure out my purpose and then I can use this money or this influence to then make a difference? And I feel like, I feel kind of like I'm talking to my parents and I'm like, look, listen, I know what I'm doing here. Like, I can go really fast and it's cool. And, you know, in 5 years I'll be able to do what I want to do. But I realized that, and I've read from other, you know, entrepreneurs and people who live this life, that's what they say their whole life. And they may get to the end, like a guy like Steve gets to the end and said, oh man, like, maybe he told himself at one point he was going to slow down and be a dad, but he never did. And for me, the struggle is, like, I think my purpose is to be a dad. And if I don't slow down, I'm going to really mess that up. And so the first thing that, and I think probably Alex and other guys in our dinner group have mentioned this, but, like, my first thing was like, oh, I'm going to quit and be a preacher. And that's what everybody says. But that's not true. And I think I still struggle with, just give me some more time. And if I have the resources, then I can do these amazing things that I want to do. But then, as I realized that, like, okay, well, I want to make it in the startup world so that I can teach younger kids all the opportunities there are in this world. And then John Carlos was like, well, do you want them to lead to the place exactly where you are at this point? And I thought, man, that really hit me hard, because I'm not exactly where I want to be. And so, like, am I going to lead other kids to this part? Which isn't a bad part, but I also realized that, like, it's not just about that. It's not just about being successful in that area of life. And if I'm just successful in my professional life, then it's just nothing's going to matter. And I don't want to lead someone else, you know, through serving them to exactly where I am right now. I want to make sure that there's more than just the professional part of it. So, what I'm looking forward to. That's a tough question, because I don't know where this question is going to end up. I think it's, you know, the all-in principle also has me a bit concerned and a bit, like, scared about what really that means. It doesn't mean me throwing my hands in the air and just, like, giving up on everything that I'm doing right now, but I think it means that I need to figure out if what I'm doing can be a part of that. And so I don't know. I feel like I argue with God every day about what I'm doing. But it's such an internal thing. To work hard and go fast. I don't know how I'm going to get over that. I don't think I've answered any questions. I think that I'm asking the right questions now. I think that's a first step, is that I'm hearing those questions and I haven't come up with an answer yet. And that's just me being honest, that I think it starts with asking the right questions. And then if I was asking the wrong questions, that would lead me down a path that I don't want to go. And so now that I'm asking questions what am I really doing? Like, what am I really trying to accomplish here? And do I see people where I want to be, and do I want what they have? And so part of it is figuring out the right questions to ask, and then figuring out how I can answer them in a way that's going to lead me down the right path.
What's really cool about that is that Jack is actually on stage today. When the band comes back up, you'll see him. He's actually on stage for the very first time today, which has been really cool as well. I actually have to apologize to Jack. I filmed him right after I filmed a guy named Alex, and Jack isn't as short as he looks on that video. It's just that I forgot to adjust the camera, and Alex is like 7 foot tall, so he's not quite as short as he looks. But I think a lot of you know exactly what Jack's going through, and as you've walked through this series, the truth is that's your story. And you're realizing that there are some really serious questions that you have to begin to work through. And you're realizing that, man, I really have been living for things that in the long run are going to be meaningless. And this is where it starts. It starts with asking the right questions. It starts with coming together with a group of people, with a family like this, and saying, okay, how do I move from running this fast, pursuing this success, and pursuing this financial situation to pursuing the things that are most important, pursuing the things that God's leading me towards? And how do I move away from this plan that I've been living for so long to begin living for His plan and my place inside of that plan? And what I want you to know today is that this is a family where you can ask those questions. And that for every single one of us, the journey began right where you are. The journey began right where Jack is. And if you'll continue to ask those questions, and if you'll continue to surround yourself with people who are asking those same questions and working through that same process, God will be faithful to show you where He's leading you. And He will be faithful in helping you to get there. And so I want you to hear this next story, because it's a story of someone who's been asking these questions for a little bit longer, and a story of someone who's beginning to experience what happens when God begins to lead you forward in this mission of living out His purpose. Check it out.
Hi, my name is Rachel, and I moved to Hoboken about 5 years ago. I loved it as soon as I moved here. It was, very fast and fun, and there were always lots of parties going on, which worked well for me. You know, between living, near New York City and living in Hoboken, there was always something to get into, always something to do, and I loved it. That's kind of how I lived the majority of my life, was, for fun. Since I was 17, I had always, thought, oh, well, life is one big party, and, I'm going to have fun, and that's going to be the goal of my weekends and my days. But it wasn't working. I had looked to, alcohol and drugs and unhealthy relationships to fill a part of me that had been empty for so long. And it was really painful. At 30 years old, I didn't really have anything to show for it. And it was sad. It was really sad. And I was very alone. And I wanted a different life. And I wondered if it was possible for me to be a different person, the person that I had been since I was 17. And I wondered if I could just have a life where I wasn't constantly in pain, in pain from the decisions that I would make, and in regret. And I always end up feeling worse the next day or the next month. And probably about 2 years after I moved to Hoboken, I was coming up from the path, and some guy handed me a granola bar and a card about Hoboken Grace. And I was reminded of a time in my life where I had actually had some comfort from, God and, church and that whole thing, even though I didn't know much about it. And it was in 2000, and my sister was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer, and she was just graduating from University of Delaware, and I had one more year there, and we were really close. And she was diagnosed, and we ended up moving home from school, and I helped take care of her over the next year. She only lived for 1 year after she was diagnosed, and it was the hardest thing I've ever been through in my entire life. And when I was home, my sister had always known God. She had always been a Christian, and she started to share things with me. And so, we were in such despair. And so every night we would read devotionals together and we would talk about God. And she would tell me about God's love and about his grace and that he was good and that he loved us and that he would take care of us. And that no matter what happened with her, that I would be okay because he would take care of me. And It somehow got me through that time in my life. So when I had received that that granola bar and that card about Hoboken Grace, I was reminded of that time in my life where I did have some comfort. And because I was so alone and I had nothing going for me, I thought, let me check this place out. So I went, and it was a little weird for me. I hadn't been to church in so long, everyone was kind of happy, and that kind of freaked me out. And the music was really loud, and so I wasn't really sure how to feel about that. There was kind of no turning back. When I walked in, I met a girl named Anna, and she kind of just took me alongside, and I sat next to her at church, and she invited me to her dinner group, and I had no idea what a dinner group was, no idea. It started this process of me developing relationships with people, healthy relationships with people, and sharing my life with them and my struggles and what I had been through, and them doing the same thing. I developed the best relationships I've really ever had in my life with these people and with these girls. And it was hard, I finally had to be accountable. I had people holding me accountable for things, with my partying and with the decisions that I was making in my life and the changes that I had to make. And it was really challenging. Eventually, I did make the decision that I wanted to give my life to God, and that I wanted to be all in, and that I wanted to follow him because I knew that he was good. And I made that decision, and I was baptized, and shortly after that, I was asked if I wanted to be a dinner group leader, which was, again, I thought they were joking. I thought to myself, what could I possibly have to contribute to, fostering these relationships, these conversations with these girls in a dinner group. And it just kind of led to me growing more and learning more about myself and more about God and, really learning what it's like to become the person that God wants you to be and to be more Christ-like and to really care about your relationships and the relationships that you have with people and to kind of give it all to Him and not hold anything back. And it was being in that dinner group definitely changed my life. And then after being a dinner group leader for a while, Chris asked me if I wanted to join the staff at Hoboken Grace, which I was completely floored again. I couldn't believe it. I was so honored that these people even cared about what I had to say or about what I could do. And it's been an amazing experience. I had no idea that my social skills and which I had always used for partying could actually be used for some really great things, and being able to connect with people and share my experience about God and how I came to know Him. And I think through this process, one of the best things that's happened, I mean, besides the fact that my entire life has changed, the way I view the world, the way my heart is, the way I understand grace, the way I view my relationships with people, everything, is that I feel like I know where I fit into the puzzle. That I feel like I have a place and I know what I'm supposed to do and that I know what my purpose is and that I'm part of God's plan and I always have been. And that's amazing to know how I can use the gifts that He gave me to carry out what He's trying to do. And I can honestly say that at 33, I'm the best that I've ever been in my entire life.
And as we walk through this and as we come to the end of this series, the truth is I have no idea what God's asking you to do. I have no idea what your next step is. I have no idea where He's beginning to challenge this idea of purpose and plan in your life. But here's what I want you to know, and what I want you to see through the story of Rachel and the story that we're about to listen to. When you follow Him, He's faithful. And when you follow Him, what Rachel said is true. It just keeps getting better. And when you move from that point where you're asking those tough questions to where you just say, okay, God, wherever you lead me, I'm going to say yes. And God, if you, whatever you ask me to do next, I'm going to say yes. And God, I'm walking away from my plan. When you do that, it just keeps getting better. And you begin to experience Him in ways you had no idea you could experience Him. And you begin to understand what it means to be a part of this family in ways that you never could have imagined. So I don't know what it is that God's asking you to do, but I'm telling you, and I hope that you hear in these stories, if you'll follow, He will be faithful. You hear that in the story of Susie. You hear that in Rachel's story. And I think you're going to hear that in an unbelievable way as you listen to John's story as well. Check this out.
My name is John, and this is my story. My journey has really been starting in the last year. God has been in my life for a very long time, but something I realized was, and something I'm coming to a real big focus was, I was very selfish. For a very long time, I just wanted to be accepted and loved. as I grew up, I didn't have the easiest life. It wasn't anything horrible, but I definitely dealt with a lot of acceptance issues. I was made fun of a lot as I grew up. I was called a lot of names, and I dealt with a lot of bullying. School, middle school, high school. And I just didn't know how to handle it. I wanted to be popular, and I wanted to be accepted, and I wanted to be loved in a way. And I would do anything possible that I could. Change myself in any way that would make me somewhat popular with kids. And I just wanted friendship. I struggled a lot to make friends. I think a lot of times my friends were very surface-based. I didn't have a lot of guy friends, which was a huge struggle for me. I grew up with two awesome sisters, a mom and a dad, but the male influence of having that brotherhood wasn't in my life. And I struggled to find it. Through that struggle, I struggled with depression greatly. It came to a head in college, but I knew it was there for a long time because I was what therapists would usually kind of say. I was using the bottle method, where I would let all the hurts and the pains go into the bottle, and I would just fill it up and not talk to anybody. I'd put my head down. When someone would say a horrible comment to me, I would just keep it in. And instead of standing up for myself, or instead of knowing that I was being loved and that God loved me and others loved me, I would just say to myself, just get through till you can get home and you can close your door and you can close out the world and you don't have to be here anymore. In college, it got worse. Though I felt like I was making all these friendships, they weren't friendships. I had a few good ones, but most of them were just as I said, surface. No one knew me. I would never, ever admit my faults, because I had this whole theory that if someone knew that I was suffering from depression, or that I was so worried about what others thought of me, then I would just be unperfect. And I would be, I don't know, I just would be very lost and not cool, and no one would like me. And I struggled with that, so I became that person that was a social aspect. I'd gotten out of high school. I'd gotten out of most of the teasing. So I was like, I'm a new person now. These people don't know me. And I became that social person where it was just me going around at bars and knowing everyone's name but not knowing a single thing about them, and them not even knowing a single thing about me, and feeling like, oh, look, here I am and I'm doing this great thing. But I still was so lost, and I didn't realize it. I would get angry and I would get depressed, and my depression really stemmed from selfishness. I wasn't worried about what God wanted for me. I was just concerned about, why am I not cool enough, or why am I not being liked enough, and why do not people want to hang out with me, or why aren't they inviting me to their parties? And I would throw fits and become angry, and I would blame others around me, and the only people in my life that really I felt loved me were my parents, and yet I would put everything on them, how angry I was and how afraid I was. I had a really hard breakdown in college, to a point where I had to leave for a little while. But once again, it just always came back to the idea that it was always about me. Always about me. And I couldn't understand why I had to suffer. After college, I thought I was getting better. I thought I was finding my place. And I also thought I found the Lord in a lot of ways. I would do readings, Bible readings, and I would pray here and there. I would go to church, but nothing was clicking. I still carried these surface-based relationships with everyone. I created these walls so people didn't know who I was. And it was easier to try to be liked for whoever they saw me as at that time than who I was personally. It all changed about a year ago. I came to Hoboken Grace through a random trip on the PATH station to work. A young lady sat next to me and saw that I was reading a devotional, and I had just been asking God at that very day and that very moment, God, what did you want from me? What is it that you need from me? Because I was finally figuring out that I was so unhappy, and nothing was changing. And she had liked what I was doing by reading the devotional and passed me a card to Hoboken Grace. And my journey is still going on, but the first moment I stepped in Hoboken Grace, it was this utter excitement. I was seeing all these young people, and I was seeing such a connection, and I just wanted that for myself. But God still was testing me. He sat me down in the back, as many people do, or I sat myself down in the back and watched on as the service went. And I was expecting and thought, okay, so these people are going to come up to me, and then we're just going to be best friends forever, and everything's going to work out perfectly. And it wasn't necessarily that what God's plan was. He wanted to push me out of my comfort zone. He wanted to push me outside of being so about me. And so I came a couple times, and I wasn't sure what the step is. And I was like, God, you know, I hear about these dinner groups, and that's great. I'll definitely do it, and I'll do this, and I hear about this. But, you know, I'm sure you're going to bring someone to me to have that happen. And he didn't. It was kind of him saying, no, you have to do it, John. You have to take that step. You have to get out of that comfort zone. And so I decided that one day I was just going to do it. I signed up for a dinner group. I went up to the sound team and Joey and said, hey, I want to help out in sound. And I went to Backstage Pass that very day. It was like a boom, boom, boom situation. And it made all the world of difference. I started to do for others and pushed myself outward instead of focusing on let it all come to me. And my journey was still rough. It's always going to be rough. I know that I'm going to be challenged and I'm going to be tested, and I hate that. Why can't it be easy? But I know that God has so many great things planned for me to do for him. And as I've been growing with the church, I've seen that. We've touched upon family, which is huge for me. And I talked about how all I've ever wanted was friendship, especially male bonds and guidance and love. And I never felt like I had that. And all I had was my parents. And I remember after a couple of months at Hoboken Grace, I was sitting down and I was thinking, God, if I lost my parents, I'm going to have nothing. No one to talk to. No one to feel that they could understand my pain and to understand when I'm lost and to understand when I'm depressed or I'm still struggling and battling. I had no one to turn to. And what am I going to do? And God kind of made me look around and said, what do you think I'm providing for you? What do you think is here? It's a family outside of your parents. And to this day, I make this little reference. I've been talking about it. It just came to a realization about a week ago, and I've told a few people about it, is I was never a hugger. I was always doing that pat hug, you know, where you just kind of, oh, that's nice, great, you know, kind of uncomfortable, awkward little pat. And I've since become this person that likes to hug people, and kind of hold on to them. And it's this idea that God has opened my eyes to show me that there are so many people here that love me because of him, because of what he's done. He's given me such an amazing family, and I actually just want to hug because I want to fill myself up with that joy. And also I want to remind myself that those people are tangible, that those people are real, that they are there and they love me and I love them, and they are there for me throughout all my troubles, and it excites me. Every day it excites me. And I thrive when I get to be at church, and I thrive when I get to be in dinner group, because I am excited to be around others who I know love me and who love God and who are there for me and for me to be there for them. And I've taken amazing steps, I have to say, in the last couple of months for me. I've done a lot of changing and searching for myself. I'm seeing this bigger picture that he has, and a lot of it's not just about me again, it's about others.
Again, I don't know where you are in the journey, but you were created to be a part of this family. And if you'll say yes, if you'll embrace what he's been bringing to you over the past couple weeks, it's just going to get better and better and better. And you're going to find what we talked about at the beginning of this, that you were created to be loved. And you're going to find a love that's better than anything you've ever experienced. Trust him. He will be faithful. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this today, I'm overwhelmed by just how much you love us. And the fact that we were created to be a part of this family. We were created to experience what John's talking about. We were created to be able to find in you the desires of our heart, this love and joy and peace. And Father, as we sit here at the end of this conversation, as we kind of move into the lives ahead of us, I pray for every single person here that they would make the decision. And yes, we realize, as we've heard throughout today, that this is going to be a decision that we're going to have to make over and over and over again, but that they would make the decision to say, okay, I'm trusting him. That they would look at these stories and hear them as men and women of faith around them who have experienced and are experiencing what you have in store for them. And Father, I pray that they would move into this with an excitement, that excitement that John talks about. And know that you will not let them down. You're an amazing God. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.